Oh, there we go. So, Mickey, can you hear me? Can you see me? Amiga. Hello? Okay. Okay. She is. I'm gonna let's see. My volume up. Can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
All right, I'm gonna turn my video on. Door video. Are you signing on your phone too?
No.
Why does it have three windows for you?
Let me make sure my phone isn't trying to sign up.
I'm gonna hit remove and see what happens.
Yeah, just remove this from there.
So what happened? That's it. Like the option for like closing you out is one of the options is I'll tell you later.
I get it. I use these features all the time. I just don't have them on my phone.
Oh.
So I use my computer like all the time. Are you on your
Yeah,
phone?
me too.
Oh, okay.
I'm on my computer. I have my new webcam that I just got and my ring lights.
Yay! So
I'm professional.
you look good.
Thank you.
Really pretty. You look different.
I hope skinny.
You do. What you wear glasses though, right?
Yes, I have my contacts on.
Ah, that's what's different.
Because like every time I would go live, like it would shine on my glasses, and I went and got contacts for that reason. I was like,
If that's one of the things. Yeah, because I have to. I have. Yeah, but you look good. I may have to go into contact. I don't know. Yeah, it makes your face look totally different. I see your button eyes.
My button eyes. Yeah, I like that.
Button eyes.
Yeah.
Pretty.
I'm gonna go grab my drink because I forgot to do that. I had to just tell Matt he was on video. He was doing video games and he was talking to a bunch of people. And I was like, "Honey, you're gonna have to find something else to do. I can't edit you out."
Right.
He's like across the house, but you can still hear him.
Yeah,
I'm like,
I'm home by myself, so it's all good. I just need to text my husband and be like, when you come in,
"Don't come in here." But he could pop in and be like, "What's up?" He can podcast bomb us.
right.
I know. Enjoy my scenery while I go grab my drink. Strongest you can ever have. Smiling is still warm. I'm glad I did that because my Bible was sitting way over here where I couldn't find it. Okay. Yeah, last time we did this, I was like, I had my camera like clipped up on a monitor. It was a hot mess. It still kind of is a hot mess, but that's okay.
Yeah, it looks good though. You look good,
thanks.
It's not. See what you got me into?
Huh? I said, see what you got me into?
Girl, why? God did that. God did that for you. God did that.
He did. Because as soon as we had that conversation, all of a sudden I'm investing in ring lights. And I just bought this software, which I'm going to light in it then tomorrow because that wouldn't work.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Get in the gear, girl. You kicked it right in the gear.
I was like, okay, I got to have to be serious.
You kicked it into gear. Oh my God. Like,
once you like know that you know that God wants you to do something, even if you don't want to do it, somewhere this like I must do this because God told me to, because a girl, I didn't.
You did. You kicked that thing. I'm a witness. Like, you kicked it into gear. You did.
Yeah, like the next day.
You was like,
I wasted zero time.
Running ever since.
And I really feel like he's honored that.
He has. I mean,
take one step. Yeah. Don't worry about the rest.
Yeah.
Just say yes, and I will do exceedingly abundantly.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
You did.
It's crazy. Because I used to like, you know what was holding me up from doing this? Being on camera.
Really?
That's it.
Wow. Yeah.
I wouldn't even lead worship at the Benville campus because they have cameras.
Oh, you were afraid. You were afraid.
I was making it about me.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not skinny. I'm not as skinny as I want to be. Blah, 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 blah. Like, I make funny faces. That's girl, I'm on camera so much.
Yeah, you look good too. You look really pretty.
I forgot to put more mascara on, but that's okay.
Mm-mm. No, you look like you look really. You look beautiful.
Thank you. That's called relieving the stress of doing all the things God didn't want you to do.
Yeah, well, you look good. You do. You look, Kelly. You don't even look the same. Honestly, you look totally different.
You don't think? Probably because I'm not doing this all the time.
Yeah, you don't look the same. You really don't. You do not look the same, honestly.
Well, the scripture says when people, well, I mean, I didn't accept Jesus, but, you know, like people aren't recognizable.
You don't.
The transformation.
The time I've met you, like, you don't look the same.
Yeah, that was a rough time in my life.
You don't look the same, though. I'm honest.
I love it. All right, I'm gonna do my little intro thing.
Okay.
How many kids do y'all have, by the way? Because that's part of my intro.
We have three kids. We have three kids and a grandbaby.
Oh,
we have
three kids.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna do that just so it's recorded, and then we'll be good. Hey, welcome to the Barefoot and Childless podcast, where we figure out who in the Holy Ghost are we. Today is a very special podcast. I have my very dear friend, Tamika Williams, here with us today to talk about how God uses everyone around you and even strangers to get you on his path. Tamika and her husband, Corey, pastor, Hope City Community Church. In Savannah, Georgia. They have three children. They're also a blended family, which is how all this started, but you'll hear about tonight. And without further ado, what's up, Tamika?
Hey, Kelly. How are you?
Good. So is there anything I left out there?
You got it all right. You got it all right. Hope City Church in the community.
Yeah. Well, are you so affiliated with like Hope City?
No. You trying to get me first? Yeah. I wish. Well, he's part of the same.
I was hoping. I was like.
Right. Yeah. Like, you know, he is part of the same organization. Like, your pastors. Pastor Casey and Stacy.
Oh, they're an art church as well.
We're an art church too. We all are art churches. Yeah, yeah. So that's how we're we all are part of.
I'm trying to invite myself to the art conference.
You need to come.
So my pastors go.
Yeah, come.
I want to have like a booth there for blended families.
Kelly, I think that will be an amazing, that's an amazing idea. It's an amazing space. You don't see ministry to the blended family. You don't. You will see it being ministered to in traditional family.
Being kind of a crooked puzzle piece to
and it's totally different. Totally different. The dynamics are different. It's just different.
Because we don't quite fit in the marriage ministry. I wouldn't quite fit in the mom's ministry. I would really like to
hear. Yeah, that's a different ball game. Yeah, I can see that for you. That, you know, yeah, you wouldn't fit in the mom's ministry. But then
some of those people don't think I am a mom.
You would fit in a marriage ministry just for the marriage.
Oh, for sure. But like, well, actually, our marriage life group with Pastor Keith, did you meet Pastor Keith and Amy?
Was he like the assistant? Is he the assistant?
He's our executive pastor.
Yes, I did meet him. Totally amazing. I like that
fellow. I do too. Him and his wife, they were kind of new when we were kind of new, and they started a marriage life group, and it was huge. And I knew Matt would like come kicking and screaming. But the first night he got sick, he really did get sick. So I ended up showing up by myself and I knew zero people. And it is not, I do not sign up for things where I don't know anybody, where I won't have at least one person to talk to.
Right.
And I show up and like a lot of people knew one another, but no one knew me. And I showed up by myself. I kept trying to like inch out the door, but Pastor Keith kept like catching me and bringing me back in. But we were in that one for 2 years until they split us all up because we got really big.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. And there are a few blended families in that as well. What I'm finding is we have a lot of closet stepmoms at our church.
Closet stepmoms?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Because Kelly, it's honestly, it is just with the amount of the statistics with traditional families, unfortunately divorcing, like the new family is the blended family most, and especially in, like I told you, in African American communities, you got a lot. You're probably going to have that more than the traditional family because of kids that are being born outside of marital relationships. That's happening. It is a culture thing with us. But, you know, once they're getting saved, you have all that junk, baby mama drama, daddy drama. We did a blended family small group. Me and my husband did. Mm-hmm. We did it in our home. Because we knew the pains. Even when we did our marriage conference, we made sure that was a component because we know it's a big thing now and people want to stay married, but they don't know how when you got kids coming involved. I don't know why kids.
Other people speaking into your marriage that have no business.
Yeah. And I don't know why kids change the structure of that. I don't know what that's about. Like, why does children change the mix?
I'll tell you one reason why it changes here, because they're with us every other weekend and once a week. And so, like, we go from, like, a completely quiet house to a not-so-quiet house. And even after almost 10 years, I still am not used to it.
Yeah, yeah. I can imagine the change. You know, we have my two older children are not my birth children. We all are. All of our last names are Williams. I was a Williams before I got married, so I'm a Williams.
Oh. Williams. Mm-hmm.
So nobody has a different last name.
Same for us.
Yeah, all of us have the same last name.
Oh,
yeah.
If I were to have my kid's last name would still be Cornog if I had one, but like if I brought one in, it would kind of be
right. That would be different unless your husband adopted that child. Mm-hmm. That would be like, you know, that part. But no, everybody is a Williams in our household. And so, you know, kids for me, like I told you before, my story was I had no kids at all when I got married. And my children were like little. They were like five or four. Like I was giving baths.
Matthew was 3 and 5.
Yeah. I was giving baths and doing that
painting
whole thing.
And all the things.
Yeah. I helped raise those children. Literally. Mm-hmm. Like I've seen them go from elementary school to middle school to high school. Mm-hmm. You know, one is in college now in Miami. And my son, which is my oldest, decided to get married early. And then of course a child came through that marriage. Mm-hmm.
So we won't tell his business on this podcast.
Yeah, he is actually doing really good. He's doing good. Really good. He went through counseling. And so, yeah, he's in counseling still. So it's
me too.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yes. I'm a firm believer.
Like to all my friends, like, you're welcome.
Yeah, get counseling. Like, don't just try to pray everything through. Pray it through. Pray about everything. But go and
get it out for the sake. Yes. Like, it's so important.
Yes, I agree. I absolutely. We are actually at our church. We just have created the foundation for our counseling center because mental health in all of those components that come with needing counseling. And we have actually licensed professional counselors. Like that's their job. That's what they do for a living. And so we're excited about that part because go get help. Get help. It's okay. You know, I always tell people, listen.
Yes, because your friends and family cannot bear the burden of everything that you're feeling all that. They're not safe for that. Nobody is. Not.
Yes, exactly. And the scripture have described Jesus. He said, God is a wonderful counselor.
Amen.
Isaiah, it describes him as that. So I always tell people.
Means he built some wonderful counselors in his image.
Exactly. A wonderful counselor. So go get counseling because he got some wonderful counselors that's representing him. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
Just like he had made singers and worshipers in his image. Same.
Absolutely. Go get. I'm a firm believer. That has been a taboo. 2 years ago, was it 2 years ago? I think it was 2 years ago when we did our women's big gathering. Like the Lord instructed me, I asked him, I always ask because I choose my speakers, who do you want this year, that particular year that we had done it? We didn't do it for the last 2 years. COVID hit and it's just trying to redo everything. But that particular year, he spoke a particular young lady's name. And that is her vein. That is her platform. She does. She's all about suicide. She's all about mental health. And it was about 2 o'clock in the morning. I was going to the restroom and he spoke her name.
Don't you love how that works?
Yes. I was like, Lord, I know where you're going this year. And she was our speaker. Yep.
You know, recently I'm in a prophetic life group where we just kind of like, it's kind of like prophetic training, like learning to hear.
Yes.
From God for certain people or for certain, like impart certain gifts or whatever. Like in learning to impart your gift to someone, another prophetic person. And there was a lady the week that we did that, there was a lady, I've never met her. She goes to a different church actually. She was just happened to be friends with our host. She came and prayed over me and imparted the healing. What is she? It's like the healing gift of like healing suicide and depression and like breaking that, I was like, that's heavy. And that was just a few weeks ago. I was like, suicide? Like, I've never had a suicidal thought in my life. But for some reason, she was like, you are it. I was like, but if you got to think about stepmoms who get like super depressed, I mean, I was one.
Yeah.
You know, because they're trying to bear all the burdens by themselves. Yeah. It's really sad.
Yeah, absolutely. You're so funny too, Kelly. You healing comes through laughter. Like, I could see you busting out in a joke. I don't know.
Oh my gosh. You know what? He's been telling me your humor is a spiritual gift.
I'm telling you, it is. Like, Kelly, I could see you like busting out telling jokes and making people laugh. Like, I could see.
That's all I know how to do.
I love it though, because that brings healing. It takes the edge off. And I think now people need to laugh a little more.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
We've been through some intense stuff. It's a nation, like just families, people we're finally seeing people really come out and it's telling what has happened. It's tattered they are. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
And like my husband's been home every single day, like working from home every single day since March 14th of last year. And he won't mind me sharing this. Like, it's actually showed up in him a little bit.
Yeah.
Like having anxiety about going somewhere and being around a bunch of people. And he used to be like, that's not his norm. And I was like, honey, you need to realize like, that's not yourself. Yeah. 'Cause when you're in it, and it, like, it just seems like, oh, something's just wrong today. And I'm like, no, it's not just today.
Yeah. But like, it's people all over. It has just hit in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see it now. You can see what people have toiled with, things that they have been dealing with while away from people. It really has.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And like a few months before that, I had lost my job and I had been home for a few months. And that was really the longest I'd ever been home, like not working in my life.
Yeah.
And I'm used to spending time with myself. I like me. I've dated me. Like, I'm good. Like, I love alone. I require it. But that much alone time was literally nothing to distract me. And this was a few months before COVID hit. I struggled. And so by the time it happened to everybody else, I was like very empathetic and like reaching out to support whoever I could, because it's like, it's going to be okay. Like, this is where you have to press in. To the Holy Spirit, you know, like just helping people, because I feel like he prepared me ahead of time. I had already done all that. But when it hit, I was like, oh no, I need counseling. Like, I need to find a counselor who will do it virtually or whatever, because I cannot like be stuck here and trying to deal with all this myself.
Right. Exactly. No, it has been nationwide. People have dealt with it nationwide.
Yeah. I'm just grateful. I was at the point by the time it hit that I would recognize that I need to talk to someone. Good. I can't. It's not going to be good for me.
Yeah, that's good.
And that was a godsend.
Yeah, that's good. Absolutely.
Now don't try to mess with me. I've been in therapy for over.
Yes. Oh right.
I dare you.
I love it.
That's awesome. So we're going to talk today about the people that God puts you in contact with. So the whole premise of the podcast is finding your identity in Christ. And it's for stepmoms, but really it's for anybody.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, during all that time I just told you about, I got to a point where I was like, hold on. Like, I've been squelching down so many gifts. Like, my humor, I didn't know I was as funny as I am. So many things, like my gift of speaking, I literally would die and crumble if I was doing this a year ago.
Wow.
Yeah. But I realized that all of that was stolen from me at a very young age. Like, the Holy Spirit just started bringing back to my remembrance, like me, like giving myself a stern speech in front of the mirror as a little kid. I don't know why I like to do that, but I did.
That is
open awesome. To the trees, because I didn't have anybody else to talk to.
Yeah.
Or singing in the hairbrush, you know, the classic thing. And, you know, I had people at home who thought it was cute but didn't say that. They just laughed at me. Or they'd be hiding around the corner, like, laughing. Well, as a five-year-old, you don't know.
Yeah.
You think something's like, okay, this isn't normal. Maybe I'm not, you know, and you stuff it down. And so the enemy starts stealing from you very early. And I got to the point last year, I was like, God, I want to know your original intent for creating me. Like, you looked through time. You're like, I'm going to need a Kelly right here.
Yeah.
For all these people. What did you have in mind? And really, that's when the transformation began.
That's awesome, Kelly. That is awesome. I like the fact that you, as a kid, you were in tune with your strength. Because when you can sing in the mirror and talk to yourself, like, you know, have that strong self-talk, you were a confident young lady. And like you said, those
around I was.
Did not recognize it to say, Kelly, we see that in you. Kelly, this is good. This is a good thing. This is not like a bad thing. This is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Voices around us, even parental voices. I tell people I'm big.
Especially on parental voices.
Parental voices. Absolutely. I tell people, you know, parents all the time, listen, your voice is a gateway. It's a gateway.
Absolutely.
It's good parenting is a gate to keep things out and then to bring things in.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So the voice of a parent is that important. It can build. It can speak. It's like your children's first touch with God's voice.
Amen. We look to our parents to know who we are.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
They're the only reference we have. And God, so like all that stuff that I was doing, I was really just acting naturally, like the way I was created.
You were acting the way you were created.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how else you give a five-year-old instinct to do, you know what I mean? Like, I have my own instinct. And that's what he was really trying to impress upon me. Like, you did those things natural. Like, you had no point of reference for that.
Exactly. I just saw a post recently, one of my pastoral friends up in Ohio, and she wrote recently that a fish doesn't need to be taught how to swim.
It's Amen.
And she said, just like she named another animal, it's instinct. It's we don't when we are doing what we are instinctively know to do mm-hmm. in our regenerated spirit, it's mm-hmm. instinct. It's instinct. Like when I told you earlier that you make people laugh. Like it's something about you. It's something about your personality.
Is it my face? I'm just kidding.
No, your face is beautiful. It is not your face. It is your quirky personality.
Mm-hmm.
And people know. It's like there's an anointing on that. It's like we could talk to you and feel like everything will be okay and laugh in the process. Like you could take a hard situation and something about how you're built and how you are wired makes it feel like, you know what, it is going to be okay. I really believe that's one of the things that God mm-hmm. that's built into your personality type and that God just sits on. He sits on it. Yeah. Yeah. So those voices are very, very familiar. One of the things I had wrote down tonight was, I think you gave me Judges. I think when you had, yes. So I was looking at Judges and Gideon. I think that's Gideon. That's in, was it Judges 6?
Judges 6.
Gideon is, you know, when we find him, he's hiding out from the Midianites mm-hmm. and he's like pressing the wheat and he's at the threshing floor. And then the angel comes and the angel's mm-hmm. like, why are you hiding? Oh, man of great value. I like something Gideon said. Gideon begins to question that angel, that announcement. Because mm-hmm. remember, when the angel of the Lord shows up, think about it. When he shows up to Mary and he makes mm-hmm. an announcement, he gives her kind of like a similar, woman, you are highly favored of God.
Mm-hmm.
But her response was so different. But when he comes to Gideon, And he tell me, you are a mighty man of valor. Like, what? I mean, because guess what? I realized Gideon was dealing with circumstances that had caused him to be hidden. He goes, when you see his response to him, he was like, how can God be with us? Because here we are, hiding the Midianites. And, you know, I heard growing up, because Moses told them that they were supposed to tell of how God brought them out of Egypt, and they were supposed to talk about it when they were at the dinner table. So his family actually was doing what they were supposed to do as a biblical family. So his response was, how can God be with us? Like, how can God be with my generation right now? And I heard he brought these people. We brought us up out of Egypt. I heard. Now, see, he didn't experience that himself. He was going by what he heard, the historical aspects of God. And so he's questioning, like, well, where is that God? Where is that God that was supposed to bring us out? And I wrote this down. I was like, hidden warriors. He was a hidden warrior, but circumstances at this point have people hidden. And what they've been fighting has not been the real enemy. See, he wasn't fighting Midian yet, because that was the real enemy. He was fighting the inner enemy. He was fighting the inner enemy, because he was saying, why did this happen? How many of us are saying that now, who lost people? Why did this happen? If God is with us, if God loved us, why did my husband die from COVID? Why didn't, you know, we got that. Why did my husband? I'm literally grieving, in the process of grieving, because this weekend we got to go bury one of our church members. I am so deeply hurt. I'm so hurt. Oh God, I was like, no, she was with us from the beginning. Prayer warrior, strong friend. Just she was that lady. She was that woman. And I remember when she started going through that battle, and I was like, you know what? Her faith was strong. I was like, are you good? You know, are you good in here? She's like, I'm good. I'm strong. I'm fighting it. I don't believe the report of the enemy. I don't believe the report of the doctors. She had four daughters, but two of them were twins, and they were like, they're like college, amazing girls. I'm talking about, I love those girls. Like, they, you're talking about elite. This woman was an elite woman, like well-dressed. She had that. She was that woman. Yes. And so, oh God, to see her surrounded by her daughter. It was a beautiful but sad moment. Like, when we walked in to the hospice room, and I was thinking, like, Jesus, you know. And one of the daughters, the twins, came to me. She was just crying on my shoulders. Kelly, I was like, Lord, give me the strength. She was just crying on my shoulders. And I just took her, what I knew, and I was just held her. I just held her. And she said, Pastor Tamika, she said, I prayed and asked God to heal my mama. Kelly, I was just like, I said, sweetie, I know you did. And I was like, Lord, you know, this really sucks. This, you know, so I was just thinking, like, you know, God, you know, those questions that they have, those little questions, like, why? You know, like, my mom was that woman that served you. Why?
Yeah.
Why? You know, and so we got those questions. Gideon was no different from us. He's asking, like, how can God be with us? And we up here hiding from the Midianites. And you know what, Kelly? God was looking for, he was a hidden warrior. He didn't even know it. He was God's answer. He was God's answer. And oftentimes we look for God's answer in
all around. We ask him, where is your answer? And he's like, I'm looking at you.
You are the reason
we do this is because it's more severe.
You are the answer. You are the answer. And Gideon was. He had to deal first with that inner enemy of how he had saw himself. That was the first enemy he had to conquer, because he wasn't even ready to face that real enemy. See, the real enemy was the Midianites.
That's right.
Real enemy. But he hadn't even gotten to that point. He had to fight the first enemy, and that was the one within, how he was seeing himself, how he and you could tell he struggled. Even when God speaks something to us, we'd be looking like,
what?
Like, why would you even say what? You know, and then he goes on. He's like, yeah, you know, you're going to deliver the mini. And what does he do? He got a fleece God. Because his.
Right. Listen, I need you to help me understand this 5 times.
Right. Five, six. You, how many times we do that? How many? Lord, can you say it one more time? Like, can you do it one more time? Like, are you sure?
Yeah, I need to know again.
Yeah. Like he went, he had to fleece God.
Mm-hmm.
And this. And this is real. Like, do this. If you're saying this, and that's
prove it.
Something about Gideon, where he was with God, where he, you know, maybe the circumstances around them was so diverse, was so intense. Like you maybe did need to have some type of assurance that I'm mm-hmm. stepping out, I'm doing this, and you're backing me. Like you got my back on this. And that's so what it tells me is it's okay. If you're not all assured, you know, Moses mm-hmm. had to ask, like, okay.
He should have argued.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, now who you said, seeing me, you said, what's
your name? I was like, I can't talk. Like, there's no, yeah. I'm not going to do that. And that was my whole conversation with God. And I actually had never read that scripture, but like, it was like probably a year ago after you and I had connected and things like that. I read that about Moses saying, no, God. I stutter when I speak, like find somebody else. Like he literally was like, no, I'm not doing that.
And just imagine you, if you hadn't stepped up and said, I'm telling you, when I was in the throes of being a stepmom, first taking it on, and I was just looking for romance, you know, I had no
clue. Right.
Right. But I was coming in like,
it's gonna be awesome.
I'm going to be in romance. I don't have no kids. I waited all this time for God. I'm just going to be in romance. And Kelly.
And you were like thrown into the deep end.
It was like, what is going on here? Let me pack my bags. I got to go out. Like, no, it was not that. My husband had a routine. He got his kids every other weekend. He got his kids for Christmas. He took his kids to the. So I was like, okay, either you can get with this, so you can get with that. You can get with this. Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes I went with both. And I know during the process, I hurt my husband. I did.
Oh, me too. Same.
Yeah.
Same. Like,
yeah, I hurt him. I had to go back many a times and apologize, you know, because I made him feel bad that he had kids. And it was like, nobody asked you to marry him. He had his thing. You could have said no.
I want to punch people when they say that. I'm like, say it one more time.
Yeah.
Like, I thought I was going into this ass wide open. There's just things you know or prepare for.
Yeah. You're not prepared. And you learn, but imagine you're taking your, because you were a hidden warrior. You were a hidden warrior. You just didn't know it. Until God,
I felt anything but.
Oh.
But you know what my name means?
Kelly.
Warrior.
Warrior, you were a hidden warrior. You're out now, but you were a hidden warrior, learning all of those things, expanding your love, and to help the next woman, to help that next family get free, you know, to avoid, use your bruises now. Now is the time for you to use your bruises. Now you're the voice. God has given power and validity to your voice to say, hey, it's now time for you to go help someone else avoid the pitfall. Help someone else avoid this. You know, Midian, look at Midian's story. I love the book of Judges because it's different stories of God when there was no king. I love that. It's one scripture that says in Judges, the people did what was right in their own eyesight.
The very last verse of Judges says
that. I love it. Every time I read the book of Ruth, I read that first. I tell people, I said, I don't know why. I just like this verse. I just like it. The people
did. If you think about it, that's what's happening right now.
Yes. Yeah.
And everybody, especially in blended families, like everybody's just kind of doing what they think is right.
Yeah.
And God actually gave us an example.
Yes.
Of a step parent in Joseph, of the one that he would choose and approve.
Yes.
And, you know, people argue with me about that. They get upset. I'm like, listen, talk to Jesus about it. He gave it to me.
Really? Do they get upset? No.
People get straight up offended that I would say Jesus like had a step parent. I'm like, what do you call that?
He did.
Like, what else would that be?
That's exactly what that was. And look, because it says that there is nothing under the sun that we're dealing with that's new. He said everything is common to man. We have it. Blended families is in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
A big time. Because if you go and look at
Old Testament, Rachel,
yes, yes, Hannah, talk about it. Yes.
Ruth and Naomi. It's every Jacob. It's Abraham from the first family, from what the family that we come from.
Yes.
There's blendedness. And so Abraham was the first, Jesus was the second. Yes. Abraham pointed to Jesus, and God put that situation in both of those families.
Absolutely.
Tell me it's a mistake.
Joseph was a step. Remember how the Holy Spirit, he was going to get, you know, he was going to like break up with Mary. Remember, he was contemplating it.
He tried.
He never even said anything to her or anyone else. And God gave him a dream and said, don't stay there. Stay right there, right?
Mm-hmm.
He knows what he's doing. And he did. He was Joseph.
If you think about the scrutiny that Joseph underwent, just Joseph himself.
Yeah.
Like for the rest of his life. Because you know how people are. We have not changed. You know, people are like, I don't think that's his dad.
Yeah.
You know, there was always this presence probably of doubt.
Yeah. Yeah, or that shadowing of, like, you know, that's the stigma, stigmatism, because it is so true in even the Black community. Oh, God. Listen, people think it's funny, but it's not funny. And they may have it on shows, the Maury Povich show, and you are not the father. No, I've seen the reality. That's not funny. It's painful. It's true. People's lifestyle has, you know, of course, babies have come from other things. I have seen it in my own family with my own brother. My brother, when he got to a certain age, my brother, he needed to know some things as a man and bring my mom into accountability. She did not want to go. I saw the pain of that. I saw the pain of whatever choice she made. She thought it was hidden, and my brother brought it back up. You know who his father was. So, I mean, I see the pain of choices we make when there's not maybe a father in the home. So step parenting is God's way. We are rams that are in the bush. Think it's about
covering.
Yes. Think about families who maybe the dad died or the parent died, and you come in and you take that place and that role. Even that's hard. And that's a difficult thing. So, no, definitely. We always refer to Joseph being God's step. He was. Yeah. He helped raise.
God had to entrust someone with him on earth.
Absolutely.
You know, we never hear anything from Joseph. That's what I find so profound.
Right.
To Jesus, and so we don't hear a thing.
No. Yeah.
He was a hidden warrior too.
He was a hidden warrior. He was a hidden warrior who stepped up in. His stepping out was on the platform of obscurity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to say yes during that time, because being a virgin, being like traditional, that it was smiled upon. You know, it's like, yay. But when you are having to step into obscurity, and like, we don't know if you really the baby daddy, but you know what? Joseph had peace with God about that.
Yes, God gave him that.
He did. He gave him peace, and that's why he was able to go ahead and raise that, despite what the voices around him were saying. You know, he was a hidden warrior.
That's the whole premise of, like, that goes into the whole premise of this podcast, too, is, like, I had to get to a point where, I was not like the perfect stepmom. Like, I didn't have the appearance of that, nor was I chasing it. Because for a while, you know, we all do it. We all be like, look, I know what I'm doing. Like, yeah, I've got it all together and trying to one up somebody else all the time. And at the same time, trying to be like 2.0 of whoever we're whoever our counterpart is and trying to mimic them or one up them in some way when God didn't design it that way.
Right.
He gave them a mom or dad.
Yeah.
You're here not because he condoned whatever led to the fracture of that family, but because he knew it was going to happen. And he's God of redemption. He's a God of restoration. So there's something in you that he was like, I need her to fill this gap.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I had to get to a point where I had to be okay with never, like, what if no one ever gives me credit for a darn thing? Mm. Am I sitting around waiting on credit? Like, you know, when they get older, or am I okay with my name never being mentioned?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And still
being, or my voice never being heard. Like this, I might influence decisions, but I'll probably never be able to say that was my decision. Wow. Or that was, that's, I came up with that.
Yeah.
Because that's not my job.
Yeah.
My job is to wake up every day and say, God, who do you want me to be for them today?
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
And he'll worry about all of that.
And they will rise up and call you blessed.
They better all spank them.
Yeah, exactly. They will. God is working an amazing story, the tapestry of it. I know my son is 24. He's 24. He wishes me happy Mother Day. And mm-hmm. you know, even when I'm feeling like, bud, listen, I'm just tired now or whatever. He's like, I understand. So kind. He's so kind. He has a kind heart. He really does. And we've always been tight, you know, but even me, I'm a voice for him. I am one of the voices for him, you know, always pouring into him, always telling him, hey, this is who you are. Don't forget who you are. Challenging him, even in his adulthood, you know, like saying, okay, son, I need for you. And we've had bumps.
I need for you to get your life together. Like, that's where I'm at. I'm saying, but I'm
going to say it. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to definitely say it. And it's,
I don't need to like me.
Absolutely. You have to say it's the truth. It is the truth. It's so the truth.
Because I'm going to be held accountable if I don't. And I'm not trying to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I already have to have so many conversations at the judgment seat of Christ. I don't need to add. Yeah. We don't need to add any more.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And when I'm, you know, when I meet my Savior face to face, I want to hear, well done.
That's it.
I want them to hear the same thing.
No. Oh, wow.
And I'm part of that. I've been entrusted with getting them to that point. Because that's really what it's all about.
Yeah, you're right. That is exactly what it's all about. Nothing more and nothing less.
Because people don't think about in terms of eternity.
Yeah.
But that's the end game.
That's the end game. That's what we're playing for. That's why we're out here.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so who are you going to spend eternity with?
Yeah.
Like, exactly. Is God going to get to spend eternity with your kids? Or is he going to have to go through other people because you wouldn't just chill?
Yeah.
You wouldn't just look at them as something to steward instead of something to... They're not a prize to be won. You don't win anything.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, no. No, 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 no. Yeah, no.
They actually lose if you're trying to win.
Absolutely. Exactly. You're right. So good. So rich.
So do you want to be right or do you want to be holy?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And it takes going.
Sometimes you just got to let it go. Let it go.
Yeah, absolutely. Let it go. Talk it out, work it through. You know, one of the things, me and my son, we had gotten into a clash because, you know, he's a new dad. Mm-hmm. And the grandbaby is autistic. My grandbaby is autistic. So that's another dynamic. So
layer.
I tell him, you know, I was like, you can't just not watch him. You have to watch him. You can't be on your phone. So, honey, we had a clash. My husband brought us to the table. I will never forget that Saturday.
Our dear husbands.
He did. He brought us to the table. And so, you know, I was like, okay, listen. I just told him, I said, I do not like how you are watching your son. I don't like what you're doing. You got to do better than that.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I don't agree with it. I just don't agree with it. You got to do better. You can't be. I said, we saw you on the phone just while this baby's just walking around. I'm like, my house is not really, honestly, because all my kids are older. It's not a baby fit house.
Yeah.
It's just not. And I'm like,
you need to be watched. And any toddler anyway.
Yeah.
Like, you can't take your eyes off.
You cannot. He is a toddler. And one thing about him, he can't tell you when he's doing something because he isn't.
Especially boys.
Oh, he's a boy too.
When any boy under the age of 5, if it gets quiet, you better go find him.
You better go find him. Exactly. That part.
That quiet should alert you.
Exactly. But you know, we came to the table of agreement and we talked some things through. So, you know, when you're talking about the voices that's around you, those are the voices that God put that needs to call you out, that calls you out to your greatness, that calls you out to challenge, that calls you out to say, hey, you know, you could be better. You could do this better. Hey, why don't even Moses, his father-in-law, Jethro, he told him, what you're doing is not good. It's a better way. You need to do this better. Why? He called him out. It was a voice. It's always voices, right? David, he gets called out by Prophet Samuel. You're going to be the next king. You know, so God calls out what the disciples. He called them out. Hey, I need you to follow me. Hey, you over there, I need you to follow me. Hey, can you calling them out for what he sees in them, those strong voices. And I'm just telling you, I feel like there are hidden warriors. Even now in people may be contending with the one enemy. They think it's the real enemy. That's not the enemy that God is raising them for. Right. It's not the enemy that he's calling that hidden warrior from out of their hiding places into exposed places, because now he's needing them to fight the real enemy. So a lot of people, hidden warriors right now, are fighting and contending with some enemies within. But that's not the real enemy. Mm-mm.
And I still find myself like, Lord, you know, I sound dumb on camera or whatever. And every time he's so faithful, I'll be like, shh.
Yeah.
Just let me, you can make 100 mistakes. And in my strength, I can cover them up.
Yeah.
But if you never do it, I can't do
anything. I can't even show you how awesome I am.
Yeah.
Just stay hidden. Like,
I thought I knew God before all this. No.
Yeah. Like, we can't go. We cannot. I can't. Look, we can't feed the 5,000 with the 2 fish. We can't do it. Because you just still logic. You just.
Because you heard those disciples. They didn't even want to go ask.
They
were like, we're going to buy them dinner.
It's logic.
Lord, deal with this multitude. I can't deal with them right now.
Right.
And God, and Jesus welcomes the multitude after he told them they were going on a retreat.
Absolutely. I love that. I was reading that. And Kelly, it was just like they had just finished ministering. If you go now, they had just finished ministering under the power and authority he had given them. So, you know, they were all high. Like, he had sent them on an assignment. And then he tells them, he's like, okay, let's go away. I want y'all to go away with me. And then what? They go to Bethsaida.
And all these people.
And then all these people find out and he welcomes them, because this is what
we're like, no, we can't. We're tired.
This is what they say. I love the fact that, see, what they did not realize and what they underestimated was that Jesus had never lifted the power and authority. He had never taken it back. You know, it wasn't like, okay, I'm going to go send you guys to go minister. When you get back, it's going to lift off of you now. It was no Cinderella kind of power. It was not like at 12 o'clock, you know, everything is going to really go back. Y'all going to go back to the doubting, fighting, infighting with one another, trying to see who's going to do this. It's going to go back. No, the authority and power he had given them was still on them at that time. And he tells them, it was something I was, when I was reading that, he tells them, you know what? He had been ministering to them. It was some words that I wrote under or highlighted. It was certain words. Verse number 12, I'm in the E. I think this is the, what version is this? This is the NASA, NASB version.
Okay.
And it says, it was some words, desolate place.
Mm-hmm.
Desolate place. And he said, give them something to eat. And we have no more than, that was three words, no more than.
Oh, yeah.
For all these people. And then he gives another one. He says, 50. 50. So you see the number 50.
Mm-hmm.
You see the number 5 loaves. You see the number 2. He also does this. You see broken pieces. Those were words that just stood out to me. And then I begin to say, okay, Lord, what is this? So when they finished ministering, he told them, there were 50. Sit them down in 50s. Set some things in order. Let's put some stuff in order. 50 is the number of freedom. It's the number of release.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
The number of harvest. It's Pentecost. Penta is 50. Freedom, revelate, release, and harvest. This is the same 50 that they would do in the biblical times or during the Mosaic time when they talked about Jubilee. Come on, somebody. The number 5 means grace, goodness, mm-hmm. and favor. 5, okay? He had 5 loaves. It means mm-hmm. that 5, God's grace in the situation towards humanity, God's goodness and favor. It was 5 loaves. 2, we know, means covenant. Covenant. Mm-hmm. 2 means covenant. And so you have all of these dynamics that God is doing. He gave them power that he never lifted. He never took it back. He was expecting for them. They were unaware at that time because they were still like ministers and training and still mm-hmm. trying to adapt to Jesus's way in their day. And he tells them, he says he was really looking for them, but they didn't realize what was really on them. They didn't realize that power that was on them. Cause he told them what, you know, you got in one version, it says you go feed them.
Yeah.
With what? You got to be joking. He says you feed them. And then of course we know the little lad who's there and he has that lunch and it's just, and then he takes it. Listen at that part in 17. After Jesus blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples. So for them to give it to the people, it says, and they all ate and were satisfied. And the broken pieces, Kelly, the broken pieces, God, tonight, which had been left over.
Mm-hmm.
See the stuff that is broken. Cause you know what? You ever break glass in your mm-hmm. house?
Shatters
you never
everywhere.
Really get it all. You never really get it all up until you walk in the kitchen one night, weeks
months later,
and you step and you be like, oh, I didn't get all that glass. Broken pieces, which had been left over, were picked up. 12 baskets full. Kelly, can you
imagine? One for each of them. They were hungry.
Come on, when you done ate, all you know you don't have no broken pieces. Maybe a little bit of crust from the bread, if you didn't really eat, you know. Think about your sandwich. If you eat a sandwich mm-hmm. and took off the little end of the bread, you may have that, but
whatever's all on my shirt.
Come on, right? Enough. The leftovers they picked up filled 12 baskets. 12 is the number of governmental order. It was so much that Jesus was releasing and doing just in that.
In that, like, what, 3 paragraphs?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was so much. He was teaching. He was training. He was blessing. He was being good. He was working miracles. The kingdom of God was still right there in operation because that's what he told them. He was welcoming them and he started telling the people about the kingdom of God. And then he starts healing because mm-hmm. that's part of the kingdom of God, right? And then he goes on and starts breaking off this bread and taking care of their physical needs. The kingdom of God is 2 things. It is both spiritual and it is both natural.
It is.
The kingdom of God does 2 mighty things. It meets the physical need, the natural need, and it will fulfill the spiritual need. It will. It will.
Oh, that is so, so good. That's why I was like, I'm not even going to tell her what I'm thinking with these verses because I just want the Holy Spirit to unify or whatever we have to say about it. And the reason I picked that is because this particular scripture in Luke 9, because I wanted to focus on, okay, so as as a pastor, a stepmom, you know, me, I work a full-time job. I'm doing this. I've got, you know, we've got a lot taking, like getting taken out of us. Mm-hmm. And you know, the disciples, they're like, I'm hungry. I don't feel like it. And I think at one point or another, both of us have said, no, Lord, I'm not doing that. I mean, I don't want to do that. Send this multitude away. Like it's my time. It's me time now, you know, but Jesus models what we're supposed to do in ministry. He welcomed them.
Yeah. I love it.
And the disciples were like, no. And then, you know, he expects us to give what we have and he will bless the broken pieces. Those crumbs are for somebody else, but he needs you to hand over your bread and your fish. He said he looked up to heaven, broke it, blessed it, blessed. It's a multiplication. So like when you reached out to me last year, God took that, whatever you had left, because you know, you got people pulling at you everywhere as a, just as a pastor's wife, like in that alone, but you're a teacher, you're a parent, you have a speaking, you know, engagements and things like that. People, I mean, people are wanting you to come do that. I would get messages from you at like 4:30 in the morning. I'm up praying over your ministry. And at that time, you remember, I was like, don't you call that a ministry. Don't speak that over my life.
Yeah.
That's not what it is.
We do. We still pray every Wednesday, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We call Kelly Crum. We call Kelly's ministry out. We call, we still call as bonus and blessed, no barefoot. And, but we,
yeah.
Whatever it's called. Yeah. We speak over your ministry. We do. Every Monday.
Blesses that because it gets, it feeds me, because then this, it says that everyone ate until they were full. It was not a snack.
No, it was based
on somebody else's crumbs.
That's so good.
They just offered up to the Lord. Wow. It's like, to put it in like today's terms, like you're just, you know, doing your business about your house and someone just pops into your mind, you just pray for them real quick, like, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but just bless them.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, thank you for those crumbs. And, you know, he, prayer, the whole kingdom depends on that alone. And hearing from God those who we're supposed to influence or pray for. Some people may never know that they're being prayed for.
Yeah.
There's certainly people like that in my life. But that was the biggest thing, is like, it, what if you had said no? That's something I think about all the time. No, God wanted me to do this so badly. He was so pursuing me that he took a stranger. Because most people don't know, Tamika and I had never met in person. Like, she came and spoke at our She conference, and I was sitting on the first row right below her. But we never spoke at that conference.
No.
We just connected through Instagram.
Yeah.
She's like, I noticed you're a stepmom. And I'm like, because my Instagram page had not been posted on probably in like 6 months.
Wow.
You shared one of my posts and I was like, I got a notification. I was like, what? Someone shared, like reposted something that I posted?
Really?
And I was like, hey, thanks for sharing this. And you were like, hey, yeah, I'm a stepmom. Like, I went back through those messages this morning just to like refresh, like, how did this go?
I'm telling you.
And I sent you my notes of what you said during that conference. I was like, this is blessing my socks off still, like months and months later.
You had it in you. You had it in you. You needed to stir it up. You had all in you. You had all that wisdom, all that know-how, all that humor for people broken places, for people hard places, you know?
And I was frustrated about it because it's like, okay,
I can imagine you were frustrated.
I see the solution, but nobody will listen to me. Well, I mean, I was not exactly, I had not been speaking really, period. Like, I had been fired from jobs because I would be in a meeting and I would know what I wanted to say, but it wouldn't come out. Like, my mouth wouldn't form the words. I really thought something was wrong with me neurologically. But I feel like, I thought it was in me. I feel like it was God just letting me do that for a season, so I would appreciate the ability to voice whatever it is for myself or for somebody else. And like, now there's broken pieces of mine.
Yeah.
there's my hurts, my struggles, my everything that I went through. I can go to somebody else and be like, I can't give you a 3-point plan of here's the process, but I can tell you who will give you that.
Yeah.
Here's my experience.
Yeah.
And that's where you started with me. You're like, hey, what you said to me was, you said, I could have used this the first 5 years of my marriage.
I could have. I know. And I was being so serious. I was not like pulling, you know, being flattering.
I could tell you were being kind of stern. You're like, listen, like, you need to keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, somebody needs that. Like, I know where I was. I know I was about to walk away. I was about to walk away. I was like, oh, I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to. I was about to get out of here.
And if
if I could have read something that said, hey, you know, hang in there, it gets better. This is what's going on. I would have been like, okay.
Or just that somebody else gets it.
Yeah. Yeah. That I'm not mean and evil. And like, how can you be a Christian and not loving? Well, I don't love. Like, it's just, it was something. It was something. Oh my God! When I think about it, and just to know if somebody had a ministry that I could have plugged into to get poured into to say, "Hey,
but there wasn't one."
No.
I didn't come up with anything.
I ended up getting a book by Dr. Kevin Lehman, "Living in a Step Family Without Getting Stepped On." I can remember the Holy Spirit said, "I'm going to help you." I went to Big Lots, and there was this book. I read it over and over again. It was Big Lots. It was called, this book is called Living in a Step Family Without Getting Stepped On.
Oh, wow.
By Dr. Kevin Lehman. I read that book over. I was trying to find understanding. I read it over and over again. And I was able to give that book to one of the girls in our church who got married. And she married a gentleman. She had been divorced. He had 2 sons and he had 3 daughters. Welcome to the Brady Bunch. Get ready. You need to get ready. And you know, she's like, oh, and because he's a doctor. And I said, no, honey, get ready. Get ready.
Money will fix none of that.
And look, she called me. She was like, I'm coming back. She's like, I'm coming back. I said, no, you're not.
No, you're not. You stay right there.
You're not going. No, you're not. You're not going to do that. You're not going to do that to those children. They don't deserve that. I really got on her.
My stepdad did the same thing. And he's like, oh, no, you won't.
Yeah. No, you will not.
He's like, did I do that to you?
Exactly. Exactly. I told her, no, you won't. No, you won't. No, you will not. You're going to stay right there. Those kids don't need another broken lady.
Nope. Somebody else.
Exactly. 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 So now we get to serve those broken pieces so that everybody can be what? Satisfied.
Satisfied. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then the Judges 6, you said exactly what my notes said too.
Wow.
I mean, Gideon, so there's one other part, like Gideon, he was in a wine press threshing wheat. Well, wheat was supposed to be threshed in open air so that the chaff would fall off and the wind would carry it away. Well, they couldn't afford to do that because if the Midianites got even a whiff, they saw a piece of that chaff come, they would know that there was harvest.
Yeah.
Woo-wee. And so he was harvesting in secret. I was getting spiritually fat on whatever God was giving me.
Yes, you were.
Nobody else. And the angel of the Lord, this lady right here.
Hidden warrior.
It says in here that it does not tell us how long that angel sat under that tree.
Wow.
And watched him. How long has God been watching us, just waiting for us to be aware of his presence? Because it wasn't until Gideon became aware of his presence that he was like, that he stopped what he was doing. How long did God wait for me?
Yes.
How many people did he send? You know? And then Gideon, of course, needs multiple proof. Multiple proof. Because he was like, I'm the least. I'm the youngest of the family.
Oh my God.
He can't. So what do you do with, what do you want me to say? My family is the least and I'm the youngest. Like, because we can't see it. We can't see it. And I think we're not supposed to.
I think we're not supposed to. I definitely agree with that, because I think about Saul, even though Saul disobeyed his way out of that promise, but you know, Samuel called him out.
Yes, he did.
The donkeys get lost, right? And then God says, you know, I need for you this. He talks to Samuel this time tomorrow. You know, this young man is coming. He gives him the whole prophetic description. He's like, okay, I need you to prepare the feast. Get the kingly ceremony prepared. Mm-hmm. And here it is. These donkeys are lost. He goes. He brings his, you know, his servant, and he's like, okay, the donkey's been lost. It's been 3 days. Let's just go back. And the servant is like, well, no, let's go see the prophet. And, you know, mm-hmm. he's like, I don't have nothing for the prophet. He's like, well, I got a little something. Let's go. So Samuel's waiting on him.
Wow. He's
waiting on him to come. That story is always amazing. So he comes. He says, the young man that comes, which is Saul, he says, I'm coming. He greets him. He gives this pronunciation over here, this enunciation. Mm-hmm. He tells him, you are going to be the next king. And Saul is like, what? You got, sir, I came in here like trying to find these three donkeys.
Sir, security.
Sir, like, really? He's like, yeah, you're going to lead God's people. You're going to lead God's people. He says, you're going to eat with me today. I need you to sit right here until the evening, and we're going to eat the evening sacrifice together. He anoints him. They eat. And he told him, he says, there's another spirit that's going to come upon you. And Saul is like this, like, you can't be talking to me, because he says, I'm the least. My tribe is the least. He almost mimics the Gideon. Same thing. Gideon says, my tribe is the least. And I'm from the least. Like, we don't
have. And when God repeats something, pay attention.
Yeah. He was just like, it's no way you could be talking. The promise was so fabulous. The promise was so, it was so outlandish. It was like, you know, maybe some, you know, just take maybe a homeless guy and they'd be like, tomorrow this time, you were going to be a millionaire. It's just like, no, it's no way that this is going to happen. It's like, it's no inkling. I have no.
So where is it going to come from? Who's going to give it to me? Right. Like, I don't know.
All of this is going to even come together. And then he tells him, I love it. The prophet says to him, Samuel says, oh, and by the way, the donkeys that you were looking for was found 3 days ago. I say, God, I love you.
Mm.
So what he just used the lost donkeys to draw him out.
I need him to get drawn out.
And so he's like,
that's good. God will play you. He will play you.
He will play you. I'm just going to draw her out. I'm going to let this happen just so her to draw out. I'm going to draw her out of her familiarity. I'm going to disrupt her day. Let me disrupt her day.
Because my 2 years, though. I mean, he disrupted. Yeah. He's like,
let me disrupt the rhythm. Let me disrupt the day. And here it is. Saul becomes the next. He becomes the king over Israel. He becomes the king over Israel. He was looking for. He was not in no one's school. He was nowhere near. He was looking for lost donkeys.
That's it.
He was just looking for donkeys. He was just following a what they would call an ass. I'm not cursing, but that's what they call it in the Bible. He was just
listening.
He was looking. He was just looking for some donkeys. Yeah.
And an angel with Gideon sitting under the shade. Shady.
Wow.
I was like, God, that's shady. That literally. Shady.
Yeah. Calling him out.
Announce yourself when you're trying to talk to me.
Yeah.
If you think about it, it's like, no, I want you to pursue me, because otherwise you will think that you did it.
Yeah. Wow.
You will think that you did it. I'm already working miracles just to get you to listen. And what you don't think is a miracle, all those disruptions, y'all, it is a miracle.
Yeah.
Because that's God orchestrating every single thing just to get you. Because right after, I want to tell them, like, right after Well, here's what happened. You had been like, a couple months. It was over a couple months. You would message me like, I'm praying for you. It's 4:30 a.m. Like, Lord. And like, you just drop little like, hey, I haven't seen a blog yet. Haven't seen an Instagram post. Where's, you know, just reminding you, I'm not going away. But what I didn't think about is like, you were getting woke up in the middle of the night and because I wasn't paying. Like, how inconsiderate is that?
Wow. Wow.
You know? And then finally, when I was like, you called me on Instagram Messenger, they have a video call function. And I was like, oh, I can't ignore her. She's going to tell my pastor's wife. I was like, you won't tell Pastor Stacy. I was like, and I looked like a hot mess too. Looked like a troll. And I was like, hello. You go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you just looked at me like, what's up?
Mm-hmm.
Where's it at?
Wow.
I started thinking she was probably tired of getting woke up in the middle of the night over me disobeying. But God knew. I feel like he was like, okay, she's going to really connect with that message mm-hmm. that Tamika gives at She Conference. And so when Tamika speaks, she's going, because why else would you? You have no skin in this game.
Listen. And when she called me, when Pastor Stacy called me, me and Stacy was on an art platform together.
Mm-hmm.
And I had called her because I knew our church was getting ready to go through some transition. I was like, I need a sister that's ahead of me. Let me hear what she got to mm-hmm. say that's ahead of me. And so she was, you know, preparing me for some things because she was ahead of me. And then she was like, well, Tamika, you know, I'm doing this. She got, I was like, I'm gonna come. I said, it was just like that. She said, well, if you come, I'll just put you as one of the speakers. I was like, okay, sure, no problem. But I was just coming just to come and hang out with her.
Yeah.
Literally. And I asked that year, that's so funny, because that year, when she asked me, I was like, cool. Where I was that day, I was like, oh, I know what I'm going to speak on, I thought. So I had a message, another whole message. I was like, oh, I'm going to speak on this. And it was like I knew it that day. That was months prior to. I asked the accountant of our church, I said, why don't you go with me? Why don't you want to go with me? I asked her, just go with me. And she was like, mm-hmm. okay. So she booked our planes and everything. Not knowing that Lisa Harper was going to be there at that point, we knew she was coming, but not way back. I mean, everything was divine. Honestly, it was divine because she and her husband were thinking about adopting. And she mm-hmm. runs, she never met Lisa. She never heard of Lisa Harper.
Wow.
No, Lisa. Lisa calls her out. She calls her out. Yes. Lisa prays over our church accountant.
Whoa.
Lisa prays over her. Yes. Even told her about speaking. It's so funny because, listen, she prays.
I was walking past when this conversation was happening.
Yes. She prays over her, tells her, I don't know what it is about you, but you're going to be speaking. Now, months later, we get Nona Jones. I don't know if you know Nona Jones.
Oh, I know.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Nona Jones comes to our church. She does a success conference. She speaks. We were part of her book tour. Yes. So that accountant who Lisa prayed over uh-huh. is speaking at that conference, at Nona's book tour. Nona reaches out to her and says, I want you to come speak at my main conference. And then what happens is, COVID hit, so Nona canceled. She cancels the conference. Mm-hmm. And I told our accountant, I said, it's not that it's over. I want you to know that God just
has right now.
He just has it stored up for you. It's just like what he did with
She's on Better Together, isn't she?
Huh?
She's on Better Together, isn't she?
Yeah, she's on Better Together.
Yeah, that's how I know her.
He has it just stored up. I told her, don't worry. No, 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 no. It's stored away for you. He's storing it up. Don't worry. Mm-hmm. It's not that it's a no. It's not a deny. It's just stored up. And so, you know, just like there with you, I'm on the plane. I looked at her. I said, God is changing my message.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
I am not playing. I said, God is changing my message. I went right in on that plane. I went right in down. And I said, ooh, I looked at her, I said, I feel like it's going to be more to it. The caught woman. I said, I feel like I came back. And see, this is where you blessed me. Because when you got the breath of life spoken over to you, I saw you kick into action. You did not waste no time. You ran with the vision because you were really already full. You just needed somebody to
I knew it was God because of what you were saying. Like, I've never, I think that was the first time I'd ever had like a stranger.
Yeah.
Just say, this is, you need to do this. Mm-hmm. And there was the first time a stranger said something that they weren't going to get something out of it. You know what I mean? Like, it was completely the Holy Spirit.
It was.
Completely. And that message you spoke about, caught in the act of rejection, I was like, like,
yeah, all of that. Like, man, just to talk about, God was moving. He was doing so much. I got sick that weekend. I was literally sick that weekend. Our accountant for church who came with me, she could tell you, I threw up in the room. She was like, I mean, I was sick that night, that Friday night. We went and got medicine for me from Walmart. I said, I'm so sick. I'm so sick. She said, I hear it. She said, why don't you lay down? Why don't you get So I coughed the entire night. The entire night I coughed.
Wow.
And then I told her, I said, you know what? I shouldn't have said it, but I did. And I said, I would feel better if I could just throw up. It wasn't 5 minutes later. I threw up. And so she said, you really need to rest because you are going to be speaking tomorrow. She said, I need you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, if I could. I could not sleep that night because I was so, I literally was sick. I literally had gotten, I had never been attacked before. I said, what is going on? And my voice was raspy. I wish I had that raspy voice for real though, but.
It got my attention.
Yeah, that voice, I had a raspy voice because I was sick. I was literally sick, honestly. So God did so much and I'm so thankful.
There's one more thing. You know, I don't think I've ever told you this. I didn't know I was going until the day before.
Really?
Probably while you were on the plane.
I was on the plane.
Because I didn't have the money. For the first time in my life, I couldn't pay for something. And I had to be vulnerable. And because it said on the church website, if you can't afford it, contact Pastor Tiffany, who I didn't know very well at the time. But now we're like that because of this. I was like, hey, like, I'll serve like I did. And I had volunteered the year before, but I also paid to go. I was like, you know, whatever y'all need. Like, I really feel like I'm supposed to be there. And I would have never done that before. Wow. Never. I would have made up some excuse. You know, if people asked me if I, you know, why I wasn't there, I would have made something up for real.
Wow, Kelly. I'm so glad that God just touched you in that way. I'm so proud of the work you're doing. I really am. And we do, in all honesty, we pray for you Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 5:30.
Thank you so much. Because I mean, and I have a prayer team as well.
Yeah.
We meet every other week. And just like the covering that is needed to do this kind of thing. But like the day after you video called me that day, the next morning, the ministry that I work a lot with now, Blended Kingdom Families, reached out to me and said, hey, we love your posts. We love your blogs. Like, we want to get you and your husband, like, to do this project with us. And then after that, after we did our project interview, she was like, I need you to come on the podcast. I was like, whew.
Yeah.
Like, God was just, like, easing me into it. But, I mean, as soon as I said yes, he was like, here you go.
Yeah. Giving you an assignment.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going there this weekend to do some stuff to Dallas with that ministry.
With power and authority.
Mm-hmm.
Your yes opened up. Your yes to that assignment solidified the power and authority God is giving you in this field.
And, you know, I don't really have a vision of what this is supposed to be. I just said yes. And, like, it's literally happening in real time. Yeah. And sometimes that's a struggle. Like, I don't know where I'm going.
Yeah.
But I trust God to just do. I literally said, okay, well, just give me one step at a time. Because I think he knows me well enough to know if you give me this big vision, I probably will be intimidated or I'll be puffed up with pride.
Yeah. So he's taking it.
One day at a time.
I cannot wait. He's doing a mighty work in you too, Kelly. He is. You don't even look the same.
I was so surprised that you said that, and you're not the first person who said that to me.
You don't even look the same, Kelly. You don't even look the same.
Coming back from church after COVID and stuff, people are like,
"Yeah,
you look different.
You look totally different. You look beautiful. Oh God, you're so pretty. You look so with the button. You really are. You really are." And that just, Kelly, I know that God's going to do. He's going to open up even more doors, like. He just cracked some doors. He cracked it for you to walk in. But it's more coming. It's more coming for you and your husband. It is. It's more coming. And the more you go, the more you get strengthened, the more confidence you'll get that vision then in a more business aspect. You will.
You will. I said I don't have vision. I have vision for this podcast. Yeah. Because I thought it was going to be about childless stepmothers, and God was like, nope, because if people don't know who they are, mm-hmm. they can't parent anybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They can't be a good wife to anybody. Yeah. And so we're going to talk about identity. I remember back in December, I got a little thing. I follow Tony Evans' ministry, mm-hmm. and I got a little thing in the mail that said, "Are you a miracle or are you a mess?" I'm like, it depends on what the day is. And that was literally the last week of December. And I was like, okay, I'm going to focus the month of January on identity. And mm-hmm. that's it. As far as I had gotten on the blog, I hadn't even thought about podcasts yet. And God was like, no, you're going to do this for a whole year.
Yeah.
Wow. Or as long as I ask you to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. I just know that you are a blessing in your ministry. It really is. Really.
Thank you so much. And y'all can tell me when your conference is, because I'm coming.
Yeah. My gatherings, when I'm back at it, I'm in a place. I'm just.
I think that's where we're at a key point too. Like, we don't have anything planned yet. I think everything's just kind of hard to plan right now.
It's just hard to plan. You don't know how it looks. But you know what? Everybody, we're depending on Holy Spirit more than we've ever had. More. And we better. We better, because with what ministry will look like now, leadership is going to have to be tapped in.
This is what ministry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to be tapped in much more stronger than we've ever been. So I've been in worship mode, worshiping mm-hmm. the Lord Jesus, asking him, hey, clear my broken heart, making sure that I don't have any biases in my heart, making sure that.
That's also a dangerous question.
Yeah, make Lord.
God started clearing some things out of me. I thought we're already gone. Yeah, just in the last few weeks, I'm like, what?
Yes, clear my heart, Lord. Clear my heart. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he does it in his perfect timing.
Yes, he does. His smooth perfect way of doing things. Absolutely.
Because yeah. I was like, thought I was so unqualified just to be a stepmom. He's like, he started bringing back to my remembrance. And like has given me this whole timeline of how he's just basically had me in a bubble my whole life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like literally just like gingerly like moving me along.
Yeah.
For this.
For this.
For this. I was like, this cannot be it. And he's like, oh, it's the thing. It's just like, he's like, you're using this as like your side chick and like trying to do it. He's like, no, this is Whoa. It.
Love it. Mm.
That's why the Holy Spirit will speak to you in the way that you understand, because Jesus literally told me he was my side chick, not my foundation. It was true.
I love it.
Okay. Girl, thank you so much. This is so good.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for everything.
I've had so many messages from Instagram. Like, when are you going to have Tamika back on?
Like,
that was like, okay, let's go.
I love it. Thank you. It encourages
me so much. Your yes to say, hey, there's something here. And I'm sorry I got you woke up so many times over 6 months or so.
And it's all good. It's all good. I'm so proud of you, Kelly. I'm proud of how you respond to God and how you run with God. Like, you are literally running. I'm seeing you run with the vision. I'm like, she is gone. She took off.
It's like, you gave me the baton. All right. Here it goes.
You did. And people need to, now they need to hear that. How do you receive a word? Girl, you took off.
Well, I mean, he had been trying to speak it to me over and over for like 2 years.
Yeah.
He literally stopped everything. I couldn't keep a job. I couldn't find a job. Like all the things I was trying to focus on. He was like, sit. And people say, oh, he doesn't control us that way. Well, here's the thing. We, with our mouths and with our hearts, profess him to be Lord over our lives. We did it in three ways. We did it in our hearts, out of our mouths, and with baptism. Three times. That's his perfect completion. Mm-hmm. Because he is three in one. Mm-hmm. So three times we said, you are the Lord and Savior of my life. I give it all to you, Lord. So because we gave him authority to do it, he can sit us right down. Mm-hmm. And he will sit right there beside you and be like, I'm waiting. Mm-hmm. Just let me know if you have a question. I'll be here when you get it.
Right.
And it's not to be punitive. It's
right.
Because what we're running toward at that moment is punitive, and he knows it.
Yeah.
And yes, it has to be our choice, but it will be as soon as we'll just understand his heart.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep. So if anybody out there feels that, like, everything, I mean, everybody feels this way because of COVID, but I think that was divine.
Yeah, it was. Hey, God didn't forsake us.
He didn't. Nope.
He didn't forsake us.
And he's right there with you. He's right there. He's not looking up or looking down at you from heaven. He's sitting right next to you. Yeah. Through everything that's happening.
Yeah.
And it probably doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
But if you just read the Bible, I don't think Paul enjoyed being stopped on the road to Damascus and blinded and Mm-mm. in prison, shipwrecked, bitten by a viper, all of it. I don't think anybody enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. I don't think Mary enjoyed being called a hoe
right.
by her people. I don't think Gideon or Moses or anybody, because you see a pattern with God. He takes them away. There's a wilderness.
Yeah, it is a wilderness.
It's not an exile. It's a wilderness.
Mm.
Because he even after the moment Jesus got baptized, where'd he go? Mm. The wilderness. I mean, the moment he got baptized and the Holy Spirit, he went to the wilderness. Yeah. He brings us, he calls us to himself, and then he does two things. And you can see this even with the ones that we did tonight. He tells you who he is, and then he tells you who you are. And you can even see that in my testimony.
Yeah.
He sat me down. He had to speak identity into me after he said, I'm your source. Mm-hmm. I created you. Now here's what I created you to do. You see it in Isaiah 42 and 43. Isaiah 42 is all about who he is, and Isaiah 43 is all about who we are. Mm-hmm. Just read it. It's a pattern. So if you're anybody out there seeing that pattern, sit down. Just do it.
Yeah.
And let him handle the consequences of whatever you think they're going to be. He'll handle that.
Yeah. I love
so,
that.
Girl, I could preach all day.
Yeah, you are.
The boys see me get my Bible out when I'm being stern, and they're like, oh, Lord, here comes a sermon.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's right. I'm going to get my podium set up.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Run with the Kelly. Run.
Run, Kelly, run. I run half marathons, and I have a hashtag that I use for my half marathon stuff that says run, Kelly, run.
Run, Kelly, run.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Run with Jesus.
That's right, Kelly.
All right. Well, do you want to pray us out?
I would love to pray us out. I would love
All
to
right.
We're going to pray, Father. We just thank you tonight. Lord, thank you for what you will do through every listener. God, thank you for what you're going to do in the hearts and minds and families of every person, Lord. God, we declare that people are picking up the broken pieces.
Yes.
God, we thank you that God, hearts and minds will be satisfied fully and completely. God, we even speak to people's past, to
their
past, God, that has left them feeling awkward and unsatisfied and unable to connect with the divineness that you have given them and that you want to give them, Lord. And maybe they feel like Gideon. They are hidden warriors and they are questioning, Lord, like, why? Like, they don't see who the Bible says you are. They don't see those mighty acts in their reality and they have questions, Father. And we just declare that their identity in their yes is coming back into fullness, God, that whatever tried to break them when they were young, Lord, even now, God, we're saying that you are making up the difference. Lord, your word says that we are complete in you. So we thank you tonight, Lord, that God, you're bringing hidden warriors to the forefront. You're bringing hidden business women and men to the forefront. You're bringing them, God. You're bringing new parents, mothers, daughters. You're bringing those relationships to the forefront. They've been hidden in obscurity. They've been hidden by pain. They've been hidden in brokenness, but you are bringing it to the forefront, Father. And we thank you tonight for what you're going to do in the broken pieces, God, in broken identities. You're making things whole. You're turning it right side up. We praise you now in advance for that which will come forward by the 50, by the 10, by the 5, by the 2, God. And you'll do it. You'll get the glory out of all of it. And we'll praise you and honor you now for what you'll make good in the future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I have one question before you go. Yeah. You're talking about numbers, which, I mean, I know a little bit about biblical numbers, but that 50. Hmm. So God gave me a dream. Yeah, and I don't dream. Ooh. I'm not a dreamer. First of all, he had my little girl self living out, like, when I say little, I mean like 4, living out the story of Elijah. Really? Right down to calling fire from heaven, then running from Jezebel. It was weird.
No, it's not weird. It's not weird.
It was just like surreal. Like, it was so vivid.
You need to write that down.
Oh, I have.
Yeah.
Like every detail I've written down.
Uh-huh.
And then I don't know when the transition happened. Maybe it just flashed in front of me, but it was my birth date written out with plus signs in between each number. So when I woke up, I added up all the numbers of my birthday, which is 5261985. Mm-hmm. When you add all those up, it equals the number 36. Next week, I will be 36. What does that mean?
That's significant. You know what? I have a friend named Linda Riddle. I'm going to send you her stuff. Linda is prophetic. Linda is like a prophet. Like, yeah.
Heard her name.
Linda Riddle is in North Carolina. Linda is when I say a prophet, like I learned from Linda as it relates to the prophet. Linda, and so she interprets dreams. Like she literally interprets dreams.
I'm going to email her mind.
No, yeah. And she does a course on, like, you know, mostly the people in her courses are prophetic people because they dream like I dream. Like it's not probably I dream 3 to 4 nights out of a week. I dream like that. I really do. And so I was like, well, you know, what it's anyway, she, next time I'm going to tag you into her. I'll send you the message. I'll tag her link so you can see. But sometimes what she'll do on Instagram is she'll say, I'm interpreting dreams, and she'll allow you to like just put your dream out there, and she literally will interpret your dream. Like she literally will interpret. So the next time she does that, so you can.
I can't interpret my own dreams, but my friend Vanessa, who runs the BKF, her and I are like best friends, by the way. So thank you for pushing me. She is a dreamer. She dreams almost every night, and she writes down her details. And then she's like, I can't figure that out. And then I will just like say whatever comes to me at that moment. And I know it from the Holy Spirit. She's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Like she has recorded our conversations because she knows I'm going to come back with.
Yeah, you're definitely spirit filled. But ask the Holy Spirit too. One of the things that Linda told me when I had took her test drive, her course one night, I just test drive. I said, Linda, can I just peek in and see what you do? She was like, sure. So she said in her course, try to remember the dream from the beginning. The opening of the dream is very important. How it opens. She said, write down how you feel, your senses. Like, what do you feel? What do you sense? Write down all the details. Was it in color? Was there numbers? Mm-hmm. All of that is very important as to what God is saying. Yeah. So the next time I'll tag you into her, though.
Yeah, because I have another one for her too that I got in December. The opening of the dream was me getting shot in a parking lot.
That was the opening of the dream?
I couldn't see who shot me, but I was crawling around opening car doors trying to find an unlocked one. And finally, I found a blue Jeep Cherokee. Uh-huh. I drove off, pulled out in front of somebody, and then was like arguing with my friends as to whether or not I should take it back.
Okay. She will. Yeah. I'll tag you in.
And I still remember every moment of that dream, every sensation, all of it.
Okay. Yeah, I will tag you. I will tag you concerning that. Because whenever she does it, she would do it and she'll say, I'm interpreting dreams today. She'll do it here and there. She'll do it. And it's like, she's on it. She's a prophet. She's definitely strong, prophetic, very, very, like, yeah. She's strong.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
God was like, I feel like the Holy Spirit was going, like, he keeps bringing that number back to me. He's like, find out what that is. Ask whoever you need to ask. Find out what that
is. Yeah, 36. I'm going to tag you into that for her.
I'm like, Lord, what you about to do? What you about to do?
Yeah, he's about to do something. It's significant for you, too. Whatever that means for you, it's very, very significant.
Mm-hmm. I was tempted to say, don't shake my life up again, please. But if he wants to, I'm going to let him do it.
Yeah, it may be something. It's definitely something significant.
I can't wait to find out.
Yeah. Yeah,
I it's can't wait. Significant.
Well, mm-hmm. Kelly, thank you for having
All right.
me. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you so much. I wouldn't have it any other way. I was like, my first guest has to be Tamika.
Oh, thank you. Such an honor.
I wouldn't be here without you. And thank you for wearing yellow. That's my color.
Is it your color? Yeah, I
just it's my ministry color.
Yeah, I didn't have to put no, you know, I didn't have to iron and all that good stuff.
Me, literally in pajama like clothes. Oh well.
Yeah, absolutely. I get
it's
you.
My podcast. I do whatever I want to.
Exactly. It is your podcast. Good night, Kelly. Take care.
Night.
Have
Bye.
A good night. Goodbye.
Bye.